So this week, we're going to talk about identity and politics. We're going to talk about testimony. Can you guys hear me, by the way? In the back, cool. It was a big part of who I was, and my testimony was so wrapped up in identity. And then I've been quick with my classes. God, I just said this really hard. So next slide. The little baby brother right there. So he didn't know how to pronounce his words correctly. He would call me Butter. He would call me Big Butter. And then that's us backpacking Crater Lake. So we've come a long way. And really is like my best friend. Sucks being 8 hours away from me, but so glad to be here and just talking to you guys. So I'll go ahead and start. So the first portion is going to be my testimony, just my story, how I just became a Christian, how God just really interrupted my life. So both Daniel and I, we grew up in Florida, California, Southern California, very boring city, deserty. We'd always go to like Newport Beach and all that, but not much to do in our city. So we actually didn't grow up in a spiritual or religious background at all. Occasionally, our grandparents would sit around and watch us Catholic Mass. You know, we're both hyper for kids, and we didn't really pay attention to that. We get a lot of trouble in Catholic Mass, but that was the only experience we got of knowing. And it just wasn't like really as young kids. So I would say that since I was a child, I always believed in God. I believed that in God that like sense that He's a creator, there's a creator of the universe, but God had nothing to do with him. He was just kind of this dude in the sky who kind of looked down upon me and judged me based on my good merits and bad merits. So that was really my view of who God was. So later on, hopefully, like, I'm able to portray to you guys, like, I was completely wrong about who God is and who God is. The triune God. So triune God basically means it's a big term, basically means God the Father, the God the Father to us, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, who really intercedes for us. So, like I said, mentioned earlier, growing up, my whole identity was just so wrapped around what people told me about things. So, we're all good athletes here. I was a big kid. I heard it both externally and internally. Pressures of feeling this like really, really fun. So I heard like crazy things like from the outside. Some example would be like, you're a big kid, it'd be a waste if you didn't play football in high school. Or, AJ, you're going to be a great athlete someday. It'll at least earn you a college degree. At least, like, minimum. And I even heard it from my parents. AJ, we can't afford for your college tuition. So if you really want to go to college, you better play sports and play well. So I felt that. I felt the pressure externally from neighbors, from friends, from family, from my own parents, and also felt it internally. I was like, all right, this is what my self-worth is, what my identity is. And so I just really got wrapped up in that. I was like, all right, I'm going to perform. I'm going to be the best basketball player I could be, which I'm not. I'm going to be the best football player I could be, which I was okay with. I'm not even Pac-12, so it's like, you know, like, but coming up, San Diego State is coming up. moving forward past like just the absolute horrors, I'm sure a lot of people felt this, the horrors of the collegiate recruitment process, and a lot of broken promises, a lot of just really letdowns. And honestly, it was the hugest blessing I ever did. It led me to San Diego State to put football in. So I was this, what I thought was this big stud, came in with long hair, earrings, like, tattoos. I was like, I'm the ish, you know. So I was like, let's get at it. And whatever you guys have heard of San Diego State is all true. Like, it is wild. It is very lost, and it's also very broken. And so that's why I'm actually there. I'm actually now doing a Pulse Minnesota campus outreach. I was just like, before, it doesn't matter. So I'm meeting. It's very similar to you guys meeting up with people. Thank you, campus outreach, SDSU. Meeting up with athletes. Funny enough, by the same going to the water polo team. I'm like, I don't know the first thing about y'all. Like, I know you guys put a ball in plenty of water, and I can't do it myself. But you guys are this. So just really cool seeing, like, coming from no religion, no spiritual background to actually, like, telling people about Jesus, telling people that their identity could be as a son of God. And we'll see more why that's here. So like I said earlier, freshman year, got wrapped up in the party scene. Thought I was chasing girls, they were running away from me. and just really consuming like large amounts of alcohol. I was like, all right, I'm gonna find a little bit of that. And really that party scene, that social life, was at a higher pedestal than my education. And so coach was always yelling at me, Juarez, what are you doing? Academic advisor always like, AJ, you know, they're so sweet and kind. AJ, what are you doing? Like, step it up, you're getting a bunch of red flags, which we felt like these lives that same niggas do. So that was like a lot of freshman year. And at the same time, if we go to the two slides over, I met these two guys. They actually met me. It's like Josh Bingham and Sam Collins. I know they're not important to y'all, but they mean like the world to me. They actually just really came up boldly to me. And weird dudes, they're older, they're like in their 20s, 26 when I was 18 as a freshman, both from the South. And they're like, what's up, dog? Like, we want to befriend you. Like, I was like, all right, what's your catch? But really, they were there just to befriend me and talk about things that didn't pertain to football. I was like, oh, these guys are actually just going to care about me. They don't just care about if I'm a good player or not. Where my position is. So these dudes, yeah, I met them. They actually work with me on staff still at Campus Outreach. So it was really cool to see them. So, okay, I'm not just their mentee, or I'm not just a friend. I'm actually a co-worker. I'm actually working side by side with them, praying with them, just talking about life together. So it means a lot to me. But yes, they did befriend me, but also they really did want to just share the gospel, the good news to me over and over and over again. And for whatever reason, I was interested. Coming from a lot of spiritual background, I was like, this is really cool. And they could tell that I had no clue what was going on, but that I was interested and I wanted more. I was hungry for more. I was hungry to hear more about that. And something about it, like, they portrayed it in such an ordinary way. They're very ordinary dudes, but really it was ordained for an extraordinary God. We had a plan for them, like, really a plan just to interrupt their life. So as I befriended them and wanted to hear more and more about God, I started living this double life. This is freshman year, this is sophomore year. I was really living a double life. So Thursdays, it was like a meeting like this, but on Thursdays and Sundays, that was time for Jesus. So I was like, I'm going to go hard, I'm going to bring all my teammates, and I'm just going to worship like we're doing. And then the other 5 days of the week, it was like, that's me time. It's me to go and do whatever I need to do, get by practice, get by grades, and then go out and party. So unfortunately, like, I really did live this for a whole 2 years. Yeah, so then it happened. Then, like, really where you see God starting to shift my story. Going into my junior year, summer, right before summer camp, we're like getting physically ready, doing a lot of conditioning, weightlifting. I kept getting a little injured over and over again. Hamstring, quad, bad, whatever it may be. And the doctor's like, something's wrong. Let's get some MRIs on you. Let's get some X-rays on you. And the results came back. It showed very clearly that I had some busted 80-year-old messed up hips. So they were like, AJ, like, you can't play anymore. We're giving you two options. Either get a double hip replacement. I was 19, going on 20 at the time. Rehab, try to come back in a year and be second string, or medical retire, you know, continue on with your life, honor your scholarship. So I chose the second option. I was like, I'm probably not going to the NFL. My life, my perseverance of my wellness and body is a lot better. Let me just lose some of all that O-line belly weight and just kind of really focus on my health. So I thought I was going to shift towards that. I was like, still God wasn't like in the plan of my life. He still wasn't at the center, but he was definitely a piece of it. And Josh and Sam, they actually invited me to this thing. They proposed the idea for a way for me to get away I was staying in my dorm room all summer while my teammates were out practicing or class. It was a 9-week discipleship program. So what that was, it was in San Antonio, Texas. I was gonna live in a hotel, like a crappy Holiday Inn, with 50 other students from Dallas and from the San Diego region. And working crappy jobs like SeaWorld and Walmart. I actually worked at Walmart because I failed the drug test at SeaWorld. So it was like me and my homie, we thought we were cool. We were like, yeah, working at Walmart. But really, it was just like, we were just two lost dudes, like thinking we're cool. And somehow God really plucked us from our old communities and put us in a group of people who were professing Christians who loved God. And I realized, I was like, they live a radically different life than mine. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew they were way happier than I was. And they lived a life that was like, they built their life so on a foundation that's so firm. I think that's kind of similar. There's Matthew 7:24-25, so it says, the man built this foundation on solid rock. And just that, you know, the whole time I was like, What's different about them? Why am I so up and down? Like, why do things get to me so easy? And really, I spent those 8 of the 9 weeks just observing. I was like, what's different? Okay, I'm hearing the same message they're hearing. I'm hearing the same gospel, the same good news that they're hearing. But they're interpreting it, they're receiving it in a way that's life-giving to them. And I took it more as a theoretical, a knowledgeable. And so like I said, that was the 8 weeks. And then the middle of the 8th week, the leadership project decided to get together and pray for the nation. So like healing and safety and salvation of the nations. And I was like, that's cool. That's really cool, actually. I like that. But I'm just not there yet. I don't think I can pray for these people. I need prayer for myself. So I was like, let me try to attempt to talk to them. And my prayer went something like this. God, if you are who you say you are, that you are the creator of the universe, but more importantly, you are a loving Father who is recklessly pursuing to have an intimate and personal relationship with your child, me, reveal yourself in such a way that I cannot deny you anymore or hide from you. Crazy enough, I know it sounds crazy, but really I just felt like this blanket of like, I could breathe this whole life. I was so worried about everyone. I was so worried about how I looked, how I acted, how many IG followers I had. And just that moment, I was like, all right, I give up. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of building my life around me. Like, I'm giving my life to you. And this is like, it's in a dark room. It's very dramatic. Dark room. Everyone's like praying on their own, praying for the nations. I'm just sitting there like, about to weep, like, because I'm praying for myself. And like, I just heard this passage over and over in my head, like Matthew 3:17. So God is actually opens up the heavens, meaning he came from the sky, came down in a symbol of a dove. And this is when Jesus was baptized, barely getting baptized. So Jesus up to this point never did any miracle, never had any ministry. All he did was go to the river and get baptized. And this is what God says to him. He says, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. I was like, okay, like, I understand Jesus is amazing dude, but God is also saying it to me. This is my beloved son, my beloved God, who I'm well pleased with. And it's not because of what I was promised, but I'm just seeing that. So from that moment on, really, my identity was changed. It was like shook to the core. I was like, the very core of who I was, always meant to be, was changed and changed. It was like, no longer am I AJ this, AJ that, AJ this. It's like, I can rest, you know, like God loves me, I'm a child of mine. So it was very special to me. Yeah, so like I said earlier, I'm not privileged to really just remind myself and talk to other people, other athletes like yourself, that your identity could be wrapped up, should be wrapped up in a child. God, a God who really loves and cares for you. And that's like really a trumps athletics, education, relationships. And that actually, when you put God at the center of everything, it magnifies everything that you have. every good gift, I deserve it. Everything has to do relationships, all that. When God is at the center of that, it makes it a million times better. So that really, what an honor to do that. And it's just a good reminder for myself. And I'm very forgiving. I think we all are. And I think God really designed us to be forgiving so we can run to the Lord and run to the Lord so we have a relationship. Yeah, so one passage that really solidified my identity in Christ is 2 Corinthians 5:17-21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old has passed away. Behold, new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God, reconciling himself to the world, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled with God. For our sake, he made him. So for our sake, he, God, made Jesus him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. So I know there's like a lot of big theological words there. It's still confusing at times to me, but really when you simplify it, I break it into two sections. The first section, next slide, verses 17 and 21. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, who is new for this world, let us pass away. Behold, new is coming. Our Savior, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, and really what that section right there is saying we are now considered right with God. We are a new creation. That old AJ who had the long hair and the earrings and was so caught up drinking and chasing the ladies, like that's the old one. I'm a new creation. I'm a new man. I'm actually the man who I was always supposed to be. God will always plan in my life. And this is all because Jesus died with that that we deserve. As harsh as that sounds, really, like we deserve. There's a separation between man and God. Jesus came along and really bridged that gap for us. He really bridged that gap for us. Alright, you guys can't do it. You're all a bunch of chumps. So I'm going to come down, live this perfect life, die the death that I don't deserve because I love you, because God loves you. And there's a broken relationship, and we're going to get this back. We're going to get this back right. All you have to do is really believe in God. So that's like something like, man, get that, let that simmer, let that sit in your brain. That's really straight from the Bible. So. And then I break it into a new section that really helped me in my walk with God. It still helps me in my walk with God. So verses 18 through 20. And for the sake of time, I won't read this, but it's up there. And basically what Apostle Paul is saying is like, man, once like your identity has been so embedded in God, like go and tell your friends, your family, your teammates that, look, I'm a new creation. I'm loved by God. If God actually loves you, he desires you. Let's really investigate together. Let's spend the rest of our lives investigating what God really says, who he is. And yeah, really, I think, especially for me, I was very nervous, like, all right, you want to go on staff at Paul's ministry, you have to share your faith. I was terrified. I still am at times. But really, it's simple. It's just sharing your story. It's just sharing what God is doing in your life and how God has changed you. Like what my little brother just shared earlier. Like God clearly changed him. He was running to a lot of wrong things. And you can even run to the right things. But if it's ultimate, it's still there. But when you run to God, you rest in God, you understand that over and over again. That your identity could and should be in God's life. Man, that's all you got to do. So, next slide, please. Bottom line is, if you guys don't get anything from this talk, try to remember a little bit of this and I'll be straight. By God, through Jesus, we are given a new identity, one that calls us into a personal and intimate relationship with Him. To go, be free to live, tell people about the wonderful news. Really, it's just as simple as that. As simple as that. Be loved by God and go and tell people that you are loved by God. They are loved by God. That's about it. That's about it for the talk. I have my phone number up there if you guys ever have any questions, my email. If you guys are concerning, if I said anything wrong, feel free to really correct me on that. But I know you guys are in great hands with Brooke and the rest of AI, staff, Jack, Kayla. I'm sure there's more staff in here. So appreciative of you guys just having me here tonight. So thank you guys.